Hi there, Coach Antonio Aguirre here for the Life Deck Show. I'm very excited to bring you so much value in each podcast episode, like this one that you're about to listen to. Well, I do hope you enjoy listening to each episode just as much as I did recording this for you. All right, let's dig into today's episode. Let's go. Give me just 5 minutes, okay? And I'll show you how to remember everything that you just learned. It's like this, because usually when, for example, we listen to a podcast, or for example, this, we're recording this now as a YouTube video, or for example, you're reading a book and you feel enlightened, but we see the world in a new light because of that, because there's new information that you just learned and stuff, and it appears fresh for you, it's different, and we vow to ourselves to take that information forward, only to find out like 1 week later, we can't remember anything of those materials from the podcast, the videos, or anything that you just read, because it just becomes useless knowledge for you. And there comes a bigger issue. Just give me 5 minutes and let me explain to you how this works, because I want to make sure you understand how important this is in terms of someone's memory. Because we've absorbed like many materials previously in our life, growing up as a kid, you know, in school, in college, in work, we've done different types of work, and we feel that we are informed and we share the message of our newfound enlightenment, sort of. Then we find out that we can't remember what we heard. In Tagalog, ano nga ba yun? Ano nga ba yung yan? Those type of things like, ano nga ba yung sa ano yung, ayaw ko, kalimutan ko na. Something like that. And we can't find out, we can't remember what we heard. Like, you know, but subconsciously we're trying to remember it in our online file of facts in our head. Like, what was that information like in 1993 or in 2001 that this thing happened? What was that called? Or who's that celebrity or something like that? Therefore, we can't form what we call a position. It's a mind positioning. You see, there's a difference between being informed and being able to understand and understand a topic deeply. We understand a topic, but not how deep is it. Being informed is the same as being aware. Understanding is equal to being certain, because you understand something, you know the concept of it, and you can explain it properly. You are certain of how it works. You might feel given, like in today's world, that it's impossible to hold on to information because information just passes on to us, like a TikTok reel, like a Facebook reel right now, Instagram reel. Everything's fast. Like you need 3 seconds of attention and boom, you're gone. That happens. That's the world we're living in. We're constantly facing exciting, new, and interesting stimulus, like a drip feel. Like the recent issue about, you know, a gun shooting, for example, it's not there anymore because we forget. It's like a flavor of the month type of thing. You know, this guy cheated on a girl and stuff like those, who's a celebrity, and then it's gone. Those are distractions. We don't need to know those distractions. Most often than not, we are really distracted by those. However, with a bit of like understanding of how our memory actually works, you can overcome this with absolute ease. Let me just explain you how our memory works. Our memory has what we call two kinds of categories, and it's called, one is a working memory and the other is called a long-term memory. It's like a computer. You have a RAM and a ROM, random access memory, and a ROM. Where do we store temporary information? In our RAM. When you buy a laptop, it's like it says 8 gigs of RAM. So that's how much it can process during that moment. But then when you turn off your computer, it's gone. But your ROM, which is like 256 gigs of ROM or 512 or 1 terabyte and so on and so forth, that's your ROM. And it stays there as long as it doesn't become corrupted. It's the same with our mind. So we have that working memory, the short-term one, and our long-term memory, which we don't forget. Our long-term memory in our head is the hub of understanding. It's why it's a learning process every day in our lives since we were a kid that, you know, if you touch fire, you're gonna get burned. So you don't touch fire anymore, or electricity cord, plug in the electricity and touch it, because you know you'll get fried. So you don't do that again, because that's stupid if you do that all over again. It allows us not only to remember facts, but more complex networks of understanding, also known as what we call a schema. And over time, the more schema we hold and build in our long-term memory, the more our understanding of the world increases exponentially. That's why when you're 15, your knowledge about something becomes a lot deeper when you become 30 years old or 40 or 50. That's called experience. And imagine it like a stock portfolio that you have. You start off, let's say, 50,000. You invest 50,000 in a stock portfolio at 20 years years old. And then after 30 years, you'll probably have 25 million pesos based out of that initial investment that you made. So our long-term memory functions the same way, like that. It's the same thing. There's no difference. This is why it's so important that we keep adding information into our long-term memories, not our short-term memories, because it's so that we can develop what we call a thorough and rich understanding of how the world actually works. However, there's a problem with this in today's culture, in today's world, because for us to commit something long-term memory, it has to go through the first stage, and that is your working memory, or like your RAM, your random access memory. Is that correct? This is when information becomes like brand new to us, something new. So we can juggle anywhere between 2 to 4 new pieces of new information at a time per day. That's why in school, when you're trying to learn, sometimes you feel that there's information overload. Like, oh my God, he just told me so many things today. Like the whole periodic table elements. Like imagine in 1 hour of your science class, you have to remember all the elements in the periodic table. Like usually, you would do that in a whole year. In science, you study all those elements, maybe 2-3 in a week, and you try to remember those. You go to a short quiz, a midterm, and then a final. Imagine learning all of those. I mean, crazy. The working memory is the part of our brain that actually decides what gets committed to a long-term memory. Think of it as a filter to discard the irrelevant information that you don't need. We don't need to remember, the, like, for example, your doctor's phone number for a long time, for example, because you could put it in your contacts, the numbers of your classmate, because you don't need them. But for example, your parents' number or your home's phone number, you have to memorize those. Or maybe your car's plate number, you have to memorize those important information that you, or maybe your SS number, your SSS number, and your TIN number, for example, or maybe your bank account, or maybe just your own phone number. Thing is, if you don't spend prolonged time with these ideas, your working memory doesn't commit them to your long-term memory, and they will become something of a forgotten conclusion. Like the thing that you're learning now, for sure, if you don't try to do this, you'll forget this. Just like how Will Smith does it in Men in Black. And so because of today's culture, we overload our working memory. And that's a problem. What happens if we only use 8 gigs of RAM instead of what we need is actually 16 gigs of RAM? It can't even process the video that we're trying to edit. For example, like a 2-hour video cannot be processed even if the processor is really fast. Our brains are constantly forgetting things every day. Like me, for example, when I read books every day, there are a lot of, maybe I'll retain about 30 to as much as 50% on a normal basis, but now I've tried to improve that even further. People don't know what is the worth of committing and what actually isn't committing to our long-term memory. So what can we do to improve our long-term memory? So now comes the exciting part. Here are 4 steps and techniques that we all can use. And I know I promised 5 minutes, but bear with me, or you can skip to this part. This is the important things you need to take note of. Let's move on to 1, which is to delete 99% of your notifications. Stop flooding your brain with pointless types of dopamine. Dopamine means like your notifications on your phone when someone makes a reply on your new profile photo. Do you really need to know right away what comment your friend made on your profile photo? No, most likely no. Not only is it killing your dopamine receptors, but it's also affecting your ability to remember things, because there's always something that's stopping you from remembering something nonstop. There's a cut between it because it's like a break, a necessary break that you have. Practice focusing on singular tasks only. That's why I'm not a fan of someone who does multitasking things. I'm a big fan of doing singular things only, not 2 things, 3 things at the same time. To do that, you can meditate, you can do what we call deep work sessions, or go to the gym with no phone. I usually leave my phone in my bag, but I still wear my Apple Watch in case someone is calling me. So that's the only time I will answer from my phone. But if it's a notification, I won't even bother because I'm focused on that. Just as an example. 2 is to recall. And this is one of the hardest things. After you've read or watched something like a documentary on YouTube or on Netflix, for example, look away. Repeat what you just read. If it's something that you read that's really important, step back and read it again, maybe 2 or 3 times. Because spending just about 30 seconds to a minute recalling the ideas of a book chapter after you've finished it, it skyrockets the likelihood of like committing it to long-term memory. Every time I read parts of a book per chapter, I read and highlight things. When I highlight highlighted, it's like actually reading the book again. When I read a book and I highlight it, I use a highlighter, of course. I highlight like the important line that I want to remember. It gets stored in my long-term memory instead of just reading it again. For example, you read the whole paragraph and you highlight one line that you actually appreciate the most. You highlight it, that's the second time you read it. And then you read it again, that's three times. It becomes a recall type of thing. Remember when you're in college, when you're trying to memorize things like places or dates, that's how you do it. You would highlight the important notes of like, you know, who killed Magellan, when did we have our third president, and sort of all those things. We highlight those things. That's how we recall it. Unless you have a photographic memory, then forget it. Number three, so you can remember more things faster, is what we call the Feynman technique. This comes from world-renowned physicist Richard Feynman, who I follow on Twitter. Number one that he says is that take something you want to understand. Number two, write out an explanation as if you were teaching someone. And number three, when there's a gap in your knowledge, return to the material. And that's one of the reasons why I post probably around 5 to 15 pieces of content every day, because most of the things I post on my social media actually come from the books that I read or something very interesting that I learned, because when I write it down, I'm actually recalling it from my long term. And the side effect of that is that people are also picking it up. Something that I just learned on a book or something on a material that I just viewed, I write it down and then I share it, and then it becomes long-term memory for me. That's the Feynman technique. And lastly, if you want to remember things, is this number four. It's called spaced repetition. Stop thinking of the brain as a computer. Think of it like more of a muscle. Like if you could do dumbbell curls for your bicep and that makes your biceps bigger, how can you do that for your brain? This is how it works. Instead of cramming information in and doing so many things all at the same time, spend time with ideas in repeated sessions. Remember, if you wanted to memorize a line, for example, let's say you've done a monologue, for example, if you want to memorize your lines, you keep on repeating those lines over and over again. I remember my line in one of my monologues in high school up to today. The line from Al Pacino's The Devil's Advocate. Like the first line goes like, who are you carrying all those bricks for anyway? God? Is that it? God? Well, I tell you, let me give you a little inside information about God. That was about 1998. And up to now, I still remember it because I probably remember that shit like 200 times over in my brain. If I could do it again, I could do it even with the gestures and stuff. And I haven't watched even that movie for quite some time now, but I still remember it, because when you keep on repeating the same things over and over again, you know, you want to say it to yourself. That's why affirmations for me, I think, actually works. Because when you say that you are amazing, you are great, you keep on repeating those things over and over again, that's what you actually become. Instead of, you know, putting in too much information learning, just to recap the four steps to improve long-term memory. Number one, turn off phone notifications. And I would even include TV as a notification, because when you turn on the TV, it's a distraction, or like the radio. Number two, recall what you just learned. Number three, use the Feynman technique that I mentioned earlier. And number four, learn in repetitions, not in a single sprint. Don't remember 100 things all at the same time. Learn to do one thing 100 times. So I think that's all I have for you today. If you think you found value in today's episode, make sure to subscribe to this channel. And please leave a comment in the comment section down below. And I'll see you again on the next episode. Peace. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. If you found value in today's episode, make sure to share it and tag me on your social media accounts, and I'll do my best to repost or comment on it. Follow me on Instagram at antonioaguirre.jr. Leave a comment about this episode and subscribe to me on my YouTube channel, Coach Antonio Aguirre Jr. I'll talk to you soon on the next podcast episode. All right? Peace.